You are listening to the Word of Deliverance Church podcast. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us at wodchurch.com.
Of joy. There's peace. There's joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom is. When the king has dominion, when the king has domain, when the king is in control, there's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Is he King of Kings of your life today? Hallelujah. Is the king in control of your life? Because in that comes peace and joy and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. Amen? I believe it is. Hallelujah. Can't outrun the blessings of the Lord. Amen. Yes. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. Sometimes I think we fail to give him the praise for the blessings, unless they're big ones. I mean, all blessings are big ones. All blessings are big ones. All healings are big ones. Hallelujah. The goodness of God in our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, for the last, I believe this is 6 Sundays, something like that, we've been ministering on out of the book of Leviticus, and Leviticus chapter 21, that I believe it is. And so I'm going to go there today, and we're going to minister there. I'm thankful for what the Lord is doing in this house. Amen. Are y'all excited about what the Lord is doing in this house? Hallelujah. I'm thankful for those he's joined with us, for those he's brought in. If you've come into the house in the last 2 years or so and have joined this fellowship, would you just stand? If you've just been here in the last 2 years or so. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if you don't know these folks, get to know these folks. Amen? Make yourself real. Be friends. Greet each other. Join together. Sam and Arlene out of Martinsburg, West Virginia. Alexis from across the pond. Amen. It's Chris Chambers. She's from Cold Run Valley Road, has joined us. We're glad to have her. Get to know her. She's an awesome lady. Who else was up? Joy and Henry Knowles, Rocky and Eileen Miller, Melvin and Bernadine, yeah. Amanda and Jim, Caleb, Chuck, Kelly, all the different ones. Did I miss anybody? Hallelujah. Now, next year this time, we should have twice that many people stand up. Okay, so if you all tell two friends and they tell two friends, and then how the old Fabergé commercial went and so on and so on. Amen. Hallelujah. How many sheep beget sheep? Sheep beget sheep. Hallelujah. And it's our calling, it's our duty to minister to those. Amen. And make our house an open house of welcome and fellowship to our community and to folks who want to hear what I believe is the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. In his presence. And so I'm excited about what the Lord is doing. Thank you. The Clergy Corner. That's what they're saying. I wrote the article in the Clergy Corner this week. So I will be doing it for the month of August. So, amen. But it's probably stuff y'all have already heard before. So, so that's all right. That's all right. Wilda recognized it when she saw it. Thought somebody stole my notes, didn't you, Wilda? Yeah, I'm kidding.
I thought, boy, this is really on time here. Same thing. But, you know, I think God really is speaking the same thing all over.
I believe he is. Amen. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, And he meant his lifting up to the cross and his crucifixion, his death, burial, and resurrection. He said, I will draw all men unto me. How many know it's his place, his dealings to draw men unto himself? Amen. How many know sometimes we got to lift him up? Amen. We've got to present the gospel of our crucified, resurrected Savior. Amen. That he's not just on the cross somewhere, but he is alive and well and moving in planet Earth. Amen. He's moving in Morgan County. He's moving in Berkeley Springs. Hallelujah. God has something big in store for Berkeley Springs. Amen. Do you believe in your community? Do you believe in the people in your community? You believe in your church? Amen. And I believe God believes in us too. Amen. And so we've been ministering out of the book of Leviticus. Go ahead and bring that scripture up for me. Again, Carlin, I hope you're not getting bored with this series. If it hasn't done anything for you, it has blessed me. And I have enjoyed looking at this. And my take on it, when I read the scripture out of Leviticus and I saw, you know, under the old Levitical priesthood, out of the tribe of Levi, or the Aaronic priesthood, in Leviticus, God began to speak some things to them. And this scripture is all about those who have blemishes, those who have issues, those who are disqualified from the priesthood and disqualified from the holy place and from the most holy place. Hallelujah. And so if we lived under the Levitical priesthood, we would still be living under some of these old order bondages. Amen. But when Jesus came and he began his ministry, Jesus came preaching in the very first sermon that he preaches out of the book of the prophet Isaiah and says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closes the book and he sits down and he says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. How many know that's good news? That's good news. Finally, the prophet Isaiah is being validated. Number one. I mean, he was the crazy prophet that prophesied, said, for behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, you know, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and all of those things. How many know that did not come to pass in Isaiah's day? There's some things that are for your day, and there's some things that are for your generations. Amen. There may be some things that I may never walk in, but there's going to be things that I'm going to prophesy because I want my generations to walk in those. How many know sometimes we got to speak a prophetic word? We got to speak a prophetic declaration over our own day and also for the generations to come. I'm not just worried about my day. I'm not just worried about my generations today. I'm worried about the generations to come. Amen. And so I'm going to preach and declare a prophetic word, whether I see that come to pass in my day. Amen. And I believe I can have it in my day, but I'm going to speak it for the generations. Is that all right? Yeah. Hallelujah. You know, I had baby Georgia at my house the other day, and I was babysitting her, and she was just about to go to sleep. And while she's laying on my lap going to sleep, I just said, Lord, I anoint these little feet. I anoint these feet to be dancers. I anoint these legs, Lord, to walk the path that you'd have them to go. I anoint this heart, Lord, to have a heart and a passion for you. I anoint these hands in worship. I anoint this head to always be sealed by your presence, Lord. I just anoint this little girl from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And I just pray God's blessing over her life and the goodness of God. How many know I'm prophetically declaring that in her life before she's even able to declare it herself? Amen. I believe we can speak some things. And so Isaiah prophetically declared some things that he did not see to come to pass, but there will be a day. He knew that there would be a day that Jesus would stand up in the midst of a synagogue and say, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And I don't know what the portals of heaven totally contain, but I'm thinking Moses and Jeremiah and some of them maybe a high-fived each other and said, I told you it was the truth. I told you it was going to come to pass. I told you it was going to happen just like God said it was going to happen. And so God began, Jesus came to preach a message of the gospel to the poor, the broken, the needy, the lost, and those who were enslaved. Hallelujah. The scripture says he came to seek and to save what had been lost. How many know under the old order, old covenant, old testament, there was a lot of things that had been lost. And he gives them the parable and he says, there was a man who had a banquet and a feast, and he went out and he invited those to come into the feast. And he said, they with one accord began to make excuse and said, we can't come. We've bought a piece of real estate. We can't come. I just got married. We can't come. I've got other things going on. They come back to the man of the feast and he said, all those that you invited, they haven't come. He said, here's what I want you to do. He said, I want you to go out and find the broken, the lame, the halt, the maimed, all of those who didn't get an invitation in the beginning. How many know these people in Leviticus didn't get an invitation in the beginning? But Jesus said, I want you to go out now. I want you to find everyone who didn't get an original invitation. And I want to tell you, they've been invited to my feast. They've been invited to sit down at my table. Go get them. Tell them to come and sit, because the table has been set. The place is ready. Go get them and compel them to come in. And they said, Lord, we've gone and gathered up all of those who that you said to go. He said, now I want you to go into the highways and the byways, and I want you to compel them to come in, that my house might be full. Hallelujah. I mean, it is our mandate to compel them to come in, that the house might be full. Hallelujah. And so Jesus came in a whole nother order, a whole nother mindset, a whole nother message, preaching. And as he did preach the message, he not only declared it in word, but he did it in demonstration. I mean, you know, it's one thing to say it, and it's another thing to demonstrate it. It's another thing to believe it, and it's one thing to act on it. There's a whole things that I can believe, a whole lot of things that I can believe that can be done, but to act on them is a different thing. Amen? To activate them, to actively walk in what I believe is a different thing. And so Jesus came along, and all the different miracles that he did, predominantly a lot of those miracles are done on the Sabbath day. I believe that's important. Hallelujah. Because how many know everybody deserves rest on the Sabbath? Not those who are whole. He said those who are whole don't need a physician. So everybody deserves rest on the Sabbath day. Not those who just are whole or perfect or, you know, look good. How many know everybody deserves a rest on the Sabbath day? He said, if your ox or your ass has fallen into the ditch, would you get him out? Or fallen into a pit, would you get him out on the Sabbath day? Another translation says, if it was your son and he'd fallen into the pit, would you get him out on the Sabbath day? Hallelujah. How many know it's been God's desire to get the son out of the pit on the Sabbath day? And so he goes around and he goes, and I believe all of the miracles that he does pretty much are listed in that list that's in Leviticus. And he seeks to save and to restore all of those who had ever been blemished, broken, or disqualified. You don't have to raise your hand this morning, but anybody in here ever been broken, blemished, or disqualified from something? Amen? Hallelujah. Thank God he didn't cast me away. Thank God he didn't give up on me. Thank God he didn't see me, as worthless or hopeless. How many know he invested in me? He believed in me. Hallelujah. He encouraged me. He filled me. Thank God for his filling. And so it says, speak unto Aaron, saying, whosoever he be of thy seed and their generations that hath any blemish, let him not approach to offer the bread of his God. This sermon this morning is called No Hindrances, or we could also call it Nothing Broken. All right? And we'll get there. For whatsoever man he be that hath a blemish, he shall not approach. A blind man, we talked about him. A lame, talked about him. He that hath a flat nose or anything superfluous, got that. Or a man that is broken-footed or broken-handed, got that. Crooked back or dwarf, or that hath a blemish in his eye, or be scurvy or scabbed, or we talked about that last week, or hath his stones broken. No man that hath a blemish of the seed of Aaron the priest shall come nigh to offer the offerings of the Lord made by fire. He hath a blemish, he shall not come nigh to offer the bread of his God. Today we're going to talk about broken stones. Carlin, before we go there, let me go ahead and go to Acts chapter 8 for me, and I just want to read two scriptures before we get there. In John 19 and verse 36, it said, for these things were done that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. How many know that we're bone of his bone? Flesh of his flesh. It is his desire that none of his bones are broken. Amen? It is his desire this morning, I believe, that none of his bones are broken. 1 Corinthians 11, 24 through 25 says, "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Hallelujah. How many know he gave us the example? It said on the cross that not one of his bones were broken. Remember, he said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Hallelujah. But when he gave the bread of his body, when he gave the Passover feast, became the Lord's Supper, he gave the illustration. He said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. This is my blood. This do in remembrance of me." How many know he was broken for us? Isaiah declares, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we were healed." Hallelujah. At the cross of Calvary. I believe through Calvary, we can live in a realm where there's nothing missing, nothing lost, and nothing broken. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we're going to talk about in Acts chapter 8 this morning. And starting at verse 26 there. What I also want to say is Jesus went around doing all the healing, but what he also did was give the command to his disciples and instructed them, just as he had done, that they should do also. How many know in Acts chapter 8, the book of Acts is all of the Acts of the apostles, or the actions of the apostles, the things that the apostles did and acted on. How many know we see where the Holy Ghost comes? We see where Peter and John go up to the temple to pray, and the man there at the gate, beautiful, and he says, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." How many know the disciples began to act and to become what God had commanded them to do? He said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give." Hallelujah. And so not only did Jesus do it, but he instructed his disciples to do it. And I didn't really find anything in there where that discontinued, where that command ever went away. I mean, we still have that same mandate. We still have that same commission to go into all the world and preach the gospel, to heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Amen? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. So in Acts chapter 8 and verse, we'll start at verse 26. And it says, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship." Now remember, he's been in Jerusalem worshiping, and he's returning, and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to his chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto certain water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. The scripture says there that the Ethiopian eunuch is coming back from Jerusalem worshiping, but while he's in the chariot, he's reading the scriptures of the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit of the Lord speaks to Philip and says, go join yourself to his chariot. How many believe that the Lord will direct you in your path and who you need to connect with? How many ever been in a situation or been in a place and said, Lord, I don't know why I'm here. And all of a sudden it becomes apparent to you, oh, I know why I'm here now. The Lord has strategically placed me in this place because he needs me to speak to somebody. He may need somebody to speak to me. How many know it's not always about you speaking to somebody. Sometimes it may be somebody needs to speak to you or needs some. You need reinforcement or they need reinforcement. But how many know we need to be sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit that when he says go, we go. How many know there are a whole lot of people that need us to join ourselves to their chariot? There's a whole lot of people that's got questions. There's a whole lot of people that's trying to figure out what Isaiah the prophet said. And he said, I want you to, Philip, I want you to go and join yourself to his chariot. And he said, and just join yourself to this man. Hallelujah. And so he joins himself to the chariot and he says, who was this man speaking of? Is he speaking of himself or does he speak to somebody else? Philip said, do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I? Unless somebody teach me. I mean, no, we got to have a teachable spirit. We never become too big, too mature, too wise that we don't need input and impartation from apostolic ministry to sow into our life and speak into our life. We may be coming from good worship. We may be reading the word. But how many know sometimes we need somebody to teach us? And it may be somebody, you know, in place of position. But it also, the Holy Spirit will teach you. The Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher that there is. And he said, how can I know what this scripture means unless somebody teaches me? And Philip said, you're in the right place at the right time because I'm just going to tell you about Jesus. You wait till you hear what I got to tell you about Jesus because the prophet Isaiah, he declared in his day what was to come. But I done been in the presence of this man named Jesus and he's walked the face of the earth and he is seen of many and he did many miracles and he's been crucified and died and buried, and not only what he's buried, but he's been resurrected, and he lives anew, and he has sent us the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Comforter has come, and he's speaking of himself. Hallelujah. The scripture says he just began to preach Jesus. Hallelujah. How many know the power of the gospel, just preaching the gospel of Jesus? Your people say sometimes, well, I don't have a great revelation. Well, if you understand the work of the cross, you have the greatest revelation that there ever was. If you really understand what he did in 3 days and three nights on the cross of Calvary, it is the greatest demonstration. It is the greatest revelation. How many people don't really even want to know what your doctrine is? They don't want to know your belief system. They just want to know what the word says. They want to know what's working for you. Hallelujah. Is there anything working for you? Because if it's working for you, export it. People need to know what's working for you. They need to know the power of the gospel. They need to know what's real in your life. They need to know what can be real in their life. Hallelujah. I mean, there's some things broken about this eunuch. It's how you get to be a eunuch. Amen. But his body was broken for us. We don't have to live in a broken, unproductive, unproducing state. Amen? Hallelujah. But how many know he's seeking Jesus in this position? And when he says he just begins to preach Jesus to him, he just begins to preach the gospel to him. And while he's preaching the gospel, the Holy Ghost begins to minister to this Ethiopian. And the scripture says, he says to Philip, see, there's much water here. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Hallelujah. How many know, well, sometimes we got to take evaluation in our life of what hinders us from living in that spirit-filled, empowered, resurrected life that we identified in our baptism. How many know when you were baptized with Him, you were buried with Him? You died. Your life was hid with God in Christ, and you were buried with Him in baptism. And just as you were buried with Him in baptism, you were raised with Him in resurrection life anew. Old things passed away, and behold, all things become new. You can't blame it on your old man anymore because you are not the same old person that you used to be. That old Adamic nature was buried. Dead is dead. Quit trying to resurrect an old dead man. That's just weird. You can't resurrect an old dead man. Now, you may be living in an immature new man, but how many know He's got grace for that? Hallelujah. But we were buried with Him in baptism. We were resurrected with Him in new life. And so He says, since you have been baptized, since you have put old off that old man, walk anew in His new life. I mean, we have the life of Christ that lives in us. We have the Holy Ghost which lives within us. We don't live after our own carnal mind. How many know you are not just a carnal person having a spiritual encounter? You're a spiritual person having a carnal encounter. I mean, no, we are to be have, the scripture says we have the mind of Christ. If we have the mind of Christ, then we are operating out of His mind, His mentality, His thinking. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we identify with that. As He began to preach Christ to him, He said, "What doth hinder me from being baptized?" Not just from the act of baptism. How many know baptism doesn't save you? It seals you. Just as communion doesn't save you, it was a covenant, it seals you. Hallelujah. How many know just as circumcision in this day does not save you, it was leading you into something else. It seals you. It's back then that was the seal, but now communion and baptism is the seal of covenant. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we live in that. We walk out of that. We operate out of that. And his comment and his question of Philip was, "What doth hinder me from being baptized, seeing there is much water here?" And Philip said, "If you can believe with all thine heart, you can. Thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he commanded that the chariot stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Hallelujah. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water. Hallelujah. How many know sometimes you got to just make the chariot stand still for a moment, and you just need to have a Holy Ghost encounter? Hallelujah. How many of you just had to stop your day for a moment and said, "You know what? Things aren't going the way I'd like them to. I'm just going to stop my chariot today. I'm going to have me a Holy Ghost encounter. I'm going to let God do something in my life. I'm going to let God remind me that I've already been crucified, died, buried, quickened, raised, and seated with Him. I will not allow hindrances to keep me from the presence of the Most High and from the Holy Ghost encounter and from where God is directing my journey, my step." Amen. I mean, sometimes you just got to stop the chariot and have a Holy Ghost encounter. Hallelujah. And the scripture says, and he went away rejoicing because Philip had preached to him Jesus. Not Judaism, not legalism, not doctrine, not even his. And what he's doing basically is just teaching him what I've observed. How many know when Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost? He said, "Men and brother, they're not drunk as you suppose, but this is that was prophesied of the prophet Joel, that I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh." I mean, Peter, who walked away from him only days before at the cross, now stands up empowered by the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost and preaches to 3,000 plus people. And on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom because Peter just dared to share his testimony. I mean, no, sometimes the greatest thing you'll ever share is your testimony and the power of God in your life, the power of God in your generations, the power of God for you to say, this is what God has done in my life, and it's powerful. Hallelujah. How many can say that your encounter with Jesus was life-changing? It was powerful. Hallelujah. And so as Philip just began to share the message of Jesus, he just began to preach to them Jesus. And the Holy Ghost fell. Hallelujah. It said that they would share the gospel to the ends of the earth. The first century Romans and Greeks viewed Ethiopia literally as the ends of the earth. That was the interpretation of first century Romans and Greeks, was that Ethiopia was literally the ends of the earth. How many know the gospels went even farther than that? I think about when Jesus said, greater things than these shall you do. And I believe he meant in miracles and demonstration and power. The scripture tells us, you know, even if we don't cover them all in this series, the scripture tells us if all his miracles were recorded in the scriptures, the books wouldn't be big enough to contain everything that Jesus did. Hallelujah. But I think in this day and age, he said, greater things than you shall you, and these shall you do. How many of Jesus, even in his time on earth, literally only covered a certain area of span in his physical form and in the arena that he could get to. But how many know out of that the disciples went out and they began to go abroad and they began to go to even bigger circles. Amen. But in the age that we have today of technology, how many know we can be in contact with people all over the world, all over the world, that the gospel can be shared through means of media and internets and you know, telephones, the technology, airplanes, the technologies that we have, that we literally have the ability to go into all the world and preach the gospel and declare the gospel. And how many know that gospel is the message of Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. And so he preached to him out of the book of Isaiah 53. Only over a couple more chapters. Go over to Acts chapter 10, I believe it is. There, Carlin, you can go ahead and bring that up. Romans 6, 1 through 13 talks about us being buried with him in baptism. Galatians 3, 27 through 29 talks about baptism into Christ and not being Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male or female, but we are all one in Christ Jesus. How many know he eliminated nationality? He eliminated background. He eliminated blemishes. He eliminated everything that limited us. Amen. How many know we're not the seed of Abraham by one that is born naturally, but by one that's born of the Spirit? And our salvation is not won through law. It's through faith in God. Hallelujah. And so in Acts chapter 10, we have the good little Jewish boy that Peter is, and he's having a Holy Ghost encounter with the Lord up on the rooftop. Go ahead to Acts 10, verse 9, Carlin, and we'll just read there for a little bit. This is the vision of Peter, and says, on the morrow as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up onto the housetop to pray about the sixth hour, and he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made ready, he fell into a trance, and saw heaven opened, and a certain vessel descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit at the four corners, and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean or outside of the regulations of the law or that is not kosher. And the voice spoke unto him again a second time, what God hath cleansed, call not thou common. It was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. And while Peter thought on the wise, the Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. How many know Peter has had a life-changing transformation with the power of the Holy Ghost?
Yeah.
Amen? He's just encountered the Holy Ghost. He stood up. He's preached. 3,000 souls are added to the kingdom. He's gone to the gate beautiful. He's told the lame to walk. He's living a spirit-filled, empowered life. Amen? But he's still religious. And it said, the scripture says, while he's on the rooftop, God begins to speak to him, and he said, he lets down the sheet, and there's all kinds of animals and four-footed beasts and unclean things on that sheet. And he says, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. And he said, Oh, no, Lord. I've never touched anything that's uncommon. I've never touched anything that's unclean. You know, I've been a good Jewish boy. And he said, and the Spirit of the Lord spoke to him and said, Don't call anything that I have cleaned common or unclean. Hallelujah. How many know God was about to change Peter's mindset? God was about to change his view. He was about to change his way of thinking. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I've had to allow God to do some dealing in my mind and in my heart. Yeah. Am I in the house by myself today? Hallelujah. Because I'm a person, I've been saying, I like black and white. I really do like black and white. Those are my some of my favorite colors. But there's a whole lot of gray things right now. Amen? But here's what Peter does. It's the scripture says, and Peter, the Spirit of the Lord begins to speak to Peter, and he said, Peter, don't you call it common, or don't you call it unclean. And about that time, knock on the door. The Gentiles are knocking on your door, and they want to hear the gospel. Can I tell you this morning, the Gentiles are knocking on the door, and they want to hear the gospel. I'm not just talking about the next door neighbor to you, or you know, I'm talking about the nations of the earth are knocking on the door, and they want to hear not your views, not your religion, not your background or your doctrine. They want to hear the gospel. And the scripture says, so Peter gets up and he follows them down, goes into the house of Cornelius, which is a big no-no because he's eating with Gentiles who are common and unclean, and he knows he's not even supposed to be there under his Jewish background, and he knows there's going to be there's going to be repercussions come back out of this. And the scripture said, and Cornelius says, Peter, God told me you were coming. And Peter said, yeah, God told me to come. And I don't know what I'm doing here. He said, we want you to tell us about what is going on. What are we hearing about? What is all this commotion? What is happening? Tell us about Jesus. And so somewhere Peter finds a jumping off point, and he just jumps in with both feet and starts telling them the encounter he's had with Jesus over the last 3.5 years. And he begins to tell them about the encounters and the crucifixion and the resurrection and the road to Emmaus and the instance where he meets with him on the seashore. And then we got the Holy Ghost, and then all kinds of people are getting saved. And then the man at the gate, he gets healed, and he starts to walk, and he just starts telling them about Jesus. He just starts telling them about his encounter. He just starts telling them about the power of God to change and touch lives. And he just begins to share. And all of a sudden, without Peter's approval even, the Holy Ghost falls. The Gentiles get filled with the Holy Ghost. They start speaking in tongues. And everybody knows you're supposed to get saved, then baptized, and then filled with the Holy Ghost. But for some reason, God decides to do saved and then Holy Ghost and then baptized, and it was all out of Peter's hands, and he didn't know what to do with it. But all of a sudden, God is being revealed in the hearts of the Gentiles, and the Holy Ghost is falling, and man doesn't have any control over it. Aren't you glad when it's out of your hands and the Holy Ghost has control over it? And I can stand back and say, all I know to tell you is, if it's all right with the Holy Ghost, it's all right with me. So you're going to have to consult with the Holy Ghost if you're trying to find out black or white or gray. What does the Holy Ghost have to say? Because I guarantee you, he'll lead you and guide you into all truth. And so what I purposed in my heart is just to preach Jesus, just to preach the message of Christ, just to preach the goodness of the Lord, just to preach God's message of mercy and grace, because I don't know where all that goes, but I don't have control over it. And I'm so glad that I don't have control over it, that if we'll just preach the gospel, if we'll just preach the good news of Jesus, that it'll go to the ends of the earth, and the Holy Ghost will fall, and the Holy Ghost will do what He wants to do. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm glad when the Holy Ghost takes over, because it's not in my hands. It's in His hands. And I know the power, the same power of God that was able to draw me, the same power of God that was able to draw you, the same changing grace of God that was able to change you, is the same power today that's able to change creation. Hallelujah. Amen. Do you believe that? It's the same power today that's able to change creation. So if we'll trust Him, hallelujah, no hindrances, nothing broken, nothing lost, nothing missing. Hallelujah. Only the grace and mercy of God, hallelujah, in work in their life. And so Peter goes back, and he goes back to the council, and they said, "What is going on? We heard that you were eating with the Gentiles, with unwashed hands, and you know that's not acceptable, and you know that this is not how it normally goes." And Peter basically throws his hands up. Let's go over there and see if I can find that. I want to read it how the Word says it here. Chapter 11, I believe it is. Let's just start at 11 and verse 1. I don't know if you can back up, Carlin. If not, that's okay. But 11 and verse 1, and it says, "And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him," or argued with him, "saying, Thou wentest into men uncircumcised and did eat with them. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying," all right, here's the deal. "I was in the city of Joppa praying. I was in a trance and I saw a vision. Certain vessel descended as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts on the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. But I heard a voice saying unto me, Arise, Peter, slay and eat. And I said, Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth." Wish we could say that. "But the voice answered me again from heaven, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. Behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was, sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them." The Holy Ghost made me do it. "Nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, Send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell these words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak," I love this, "and as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then I remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? What was I going to do? When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, Then hath God also of the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." He basically goes back to them and said, "I don't know what to tell you, but this is what happened. And seriously, the Lord spoke to me. He sends me down there. I just start to tell him. The Holy Ghost falls. It's out of my hands." And what he says to them, and guess what, guys? It's out of your hands too. Hallelujah. The grace of God is in His hands. His mercy, His grace, and His goodness. Our mandate is to preach the gospel. Amen. To every creature. Nothing broken, nothing missing, nothing lost. Hallelujah. Whereas Leviticus was all about blemishes and brokenness and hurting and disabilities, how many know the gospel of Christ is all about empowerment, being qualified, all about His Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty, there is healing, and there is wholeness. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to trust the Holy Ghost.
I'm going to trust the Holy Ghost to do what the Holy Ghost can do on the lives of people. Hallelujah. When I see concerns, when I'm worried, when I'm fretting, when I see things that looks like, you know, God, what are we going to do here? What are we going to do there? I say, Lord, just send the Holy Ghost. I've sent the Holy Ghost out after a whole lot of people. Lord, I just send the Holy Ghost. Not that the Holy Ghost isn't already there. I'm just cooperating with him, saying, Lord, do what the Holy Ghost, only the Holy Ghost can do. How many know there's sometimes I can't physically be places? There's sometimes I can't physically know everything that's going on, but I know a God who does, and I trust the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. I trust the Holy Ghost to go and to move. Hallelujah. And to touch lives and to change lives. Hallelujah. I've seen him do the impossible. I've seen him bring in those that I thought would never come. I've seen him touch the lives of people that I thought never could change. I'm learning to never underestimate the power of the force. Amen. I'm learning to trust the God in me. I'm learning to trust the God in them to bring them. Hallelujah. That we can pray, that we can seek God, that we can declare his goodness. I mean, people already mostly know the bad news. They want to know the good news. That's what the gospel is, the good news. I got good news for you. You may be broken, wounded, hurting, and lost. But Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to heal your blemishes. He came to qualify you and not disqualified. He came to make you every whit whole. Hallelujah. You are of the seed of Abraham. You are a daughter of Abraham. You are a son of Abraham. Hallelujah. And I just know if somebody had an ox or an ass or a son that was in a pit on the Sabbath day, you'd get him out. Amen. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot of creation that are knocking on our door and want you to just declare the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And as we just begin to declare the gospel, I believe it removes hindrances in our lives. I'm not to a place where I don't think that there's not hindrances in my mind, in my life, in my heart. Amen. I mean, you know, sometimes we say, I believe God, but do we believe him to the point of activating what he's speaking to us and declaring to us? How many know sometimes God begins to speak things and say, Lord, I don't know, but I don't know if that's you, or I don't know if you're I don't know how that'll work, and I don't know how to make that happen. How many know sometimes you just got to trust God in faith and say, God, I'm just going to trust you in faith. Yep. Hallelujah. And so we have to come to a place in our life where we just trust God.
Anything.
And you know, that's what gets in our mind is doubt. You know, and a lot of times when we pray, we say we believe, but what we're really doing is hoping. And that's two different things. When we really believe, then that's when we really see God move and God do what he says he'll do. But we go a lot of times, we let our own doubts, our own thoughts come in and then rob us of what God says. Don't doubt, just believe. And I think that a lot of times our belief system is more of a hope system than a belief system.
Than a faith system.
We pray and we think, well, I hope God will do it, you know.
Yep.
But do we really believe God will do it? And I think that's where we miss seeing the miracles and the blessings of God. Is no, I don't just hope it. I really do believe God's going to do it. And we can get to that place. I really think... we're not going to be unbelievers anymore, but we're going to be believers.
Going to be believers. Hallelujah. It's not about our unbelief. It's about our belief. Amen? Yeah. Hallelujah. And I believe there are those in situations that are crying out for somebody to just share the good news of the gospel. Amen? Maybe you are crying out for the good news of the gospel in your life and in your heart. For God to work in the arenas of your life. Quit making excuses and saying, "But yeah, but you don't know about me. You don't know about this. You don't know about God." I do know about the Holy Ghost. Yes. I do know about his mercy. Yes. I do know about his grace. Yes. I cannot even comprehend his love, but I know it's boundless. I know it's amazing. Yes. And I know it can do things that I could never imagine to do. Yes. So I'm going to quit depending on my strength and my ability to perform, and I'm just going to trust God. Yes. Hallelujah. And I'm going to trust him to lead us to where he would have us to go. Amen? And it may come to dealing with some of our mindsets. I mean, you know, Peter was up in a high place in a trance. But how many know sometimes God has to deal with some of our mindsets? And my prayer is, Lord, deal with my mindsets. Show me your way. Show me what your word is, your path for my life. Amen? And I believe he's able to do that. I believe he's able to do that. So I believe in this last 6 weeks of series, I think it's 6 weeks. If you haven't heard them all, they are on CDs. If you want them, they'll be on podcast. And it's a series, No Blemishes. I hope in here we realize that God has removed all excuses, removed all blemishes, all disqualifications, and he has qualified you, called you, and we were without excuse to do everything that God has purposed for us in our life. Amen? Amen. Can you trust him for that? Can you believe him for that? And God say, Lord, we receive from you. Hallelujah. I'm going to quit looking at my flaws and my circumstances. I'm going to start looking at you. Hallelujah. And as we look at him and as we see him, it becomes more and more clear what his purpose, his calling, and his plan for our life is. Amen? Amen. And I receive that this morning for me. I receive that. Amen? Hallelujah. Lord, work that in my life. Yes. Yes, we do. Be sensitive to his spirit. Amen. Stand with me.